I've really enjoyed reading Psalm 119 lately. I've read it a lot over the years and never really got out of it what I've got out of it this year, and it's been a great blessing. But over in Psalm 119, verse 130, this really jumped out at me as I was reading about a month ago. We'll start off verse 129. It says, "Thy testimonies are wonderful." And I love the way Brother Ronald presented that this morning about Psalm 119 and about how a multitude of verses are talking about basically the Word of God. And here's another one of those verses. "Thy testimonies are wonderful." Brothers and sisters, if you need a reason to read the Bible, this is a good one. "Thy testimonies are wonderful." Therefore, I mean, who doesn't like wonderful? Come on. Hey, I got some wonderful reading for you. It says it.
Amen.
"Thy testimonies are wonderful. Therefore doth my soul keep them." Not only are we supposed to read it, we're supposed to keep them. "The entrance," this is what really jumped out at me. This is beautiful to me. And the reason it's beautiful to me, because I scored a 13 on my ACT in reading. Okay? English. Not good. Not good at all. I had to get tutored to go to junior college for my English skills. And one of the things that I would hear people say all the time for their excuse not to read the Bible is that the Bible is too hard to understand or they can't read. I scored a 13. On my ACT in English, which is horrible. I love reading the Bible.
Amen.
I didn't start reading it till I was 21. I love reading the Bible. And it's not because I'm so smart. It's because God is so good.
Amen.
But I want you to look at this verse right here. You thinking you not smart. See, I told you I'm not good at English. You thinking you not being smart is a reason not to read the Bible? Verse 130 of Psalm 119 tells me that you thinking that you're not smart is a reason for you to read the Bible.
Amen.
Look what it says here. "The entrance of thy words giveth light. It giveth understanding unto the simple." If you think you're simple-minded, if you think you're not smart, you know what the Bible says that the Word of God does? It gives understanding to the simple. So if you're not smart enough to read the Bible, in your mind, the Bible just said you should be reading the Bible. What's your excuse now? Well, only if we just had more time, right? Only if we could just work from home, right? I mean, just imagine if the Lord would bless His people in a time of struggle to be able to work from the house so they could read the Bible more. Blessing in the skies, brothers and sisters. If you have your Bibles with you, please go to 1 Peter chapter 4. I'm scared to death. I got a subject, and it's like all over here. I mean, there's like 1,000 verses I could use, and I don't know which one to use, so we'll just go to the first one that's on my mind. Please pray for us. I am scared. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 8. "And above all things, have fervent charity among yourselves, for charity shall cover the multitude of sins." This is a beautiful verse. And look what it says here. "And above all things." That means this is very, very important.
Amen.
"And above all things, have fervent," not just a little bit, "but fervent charity among yourselves in the church of God, for charity shall cover the multitude of sins." What is charity? Charity is love. Amen. When I first started reading the Bible, I drawn to that definition. You know, it is love. But then, you know, you start reading the Greek and whatnot. And yeah, I don't read a lot of it. But but I come up with, you know, the agape, or ever how you say the word. Which means love feasts. And I like that, because I like to feast, Brother Mark. I mean, don't y'all like to feast? And look what it says here. "Above all things, have fervent love feast." among yourselves, for charity shall cover the multitude of sins. I'm going to tell you, one of the things that I loved about the old Baptist whenever I came to her, whenever I came to the Church of God, even whenever I didn't believe in salvation by the grace of God, even whenever I thought predestination and election was unfair, the thing that I couldn't deny was there was a love feast going on.
Amen.
I mean, there was people that knew where I had been, that knew how unclean my hands were, and they still hugged me. I want you to understand, whenever I first came to the church, I would shake people's hands, and I just knew that they could tell what a sinner I was just by touching me, and they hugged me and embraced me and said, "We don't care where you've been. We're just happy that you're here." And look what it says here. It says, above all things, we let a lot of things get in the way, don't we?
Amen.
But above all things, you know, we get distracted real easy. And above all things means this is a main focus in our lives. I asked a question on the way down here. I said, what is, in your opinion, what is the two most important things for a church member to do? I said, understanding that the function of the church is to be the pillar and ground of the truth of God. What are the two most important things, in your opinion, of the two folks I was traveling with? What's y'all's opinion about the two most important things that a church member should do, understanding that the function of the church as a body, as a whole, is to be the pillar and ground of the truth of God? And my answer to that is, because I'm the preacher, I'm not going to tell you their answers, but my answer is, number one, and above all, is to worship and glorify my God.
Amen.
Let His name be magnified. I'm going to tell you, you know what number two is? In my opinion of what the Bible teaches, is keep the bond of the unity of the Spirit of the house of God.
Amen.
To not to do anything to mess this up. I'm going to tell you, the Bible teaches how pleasant it is. How pleasant it is to sow discord. Is that what it says? But our flesh does think it's pleasant, doesn't it? If it didn't, we wouldn't do it. I think from time to time we're all guilty of it. But it says, the Bible says how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in what? In unity!
Amen.
You know, one of the favorite things for me to do besides being blessed to preach the Word of God is to hear the gospel preached. And I'm talking about preached. I'm not talking about, he's preaching. But I'm talking about to hear the gospel preached, and you feel like you're just floating, and then you get to come around in a handshake from the Lord, and you're able to go, "Whoa, bro, that was good."
Amen.
I'm going to tell you, because we, for just a little bit, we're able to dwell together in unity. Because I'm going to be honest with you, brothers and sisters. I don't like wearing a mask. I got to wear one for work. If you want me to wear one for me to worship with you, I'll do it. If that's what it takes for us to worship together in unity, I'll do it. Because you know what the Lord did for me to worship Him in glory, in unity? He died for me. Now, I prefer not to wear one, okay? But I'm saying, I'll do it. I'll do it. Because you know what? My comfortability is not as important as us being knit together. And it's not as important as the pleasantness of us dwelling in unity. Look what it says here. And above all things, I just like that. And above all things. Hey, and I'm going to tell you, the Lord gave me exactly, you know, people have called me Brother Huggy before. I married Sister Huggy, you know. you're talking about quarantine killing somebody. I mean, my goodness, our biggest fight was, I think I got the COVID, you can't go to church. What? She didn't. But, I don't know where I was going with that, but I just love unity. I love charity. I love love because I need it. I am a recipient of it. And above all things, have fervent charity among yourselves. For, because, charity shall cover the multitude of sins. Look what it says there. It doesn't say, because charity will cover a multitude of sins. It says, for charity shall, we're hard shells, right? For charity shall cover the multitude of sins. What do you think that's talking about? I believe that's talking about the love of Christ that covers the multitude of the elect children of God's sins. Because you know how you were predestinated and elected? It was in love. You know how you were kept in the security and power of God? It's in love, because nothing is going to separate you from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus. You know how you were born again? Over in Jeremiah 31:3, it says this. It says, yea, I have loved thee with an everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness have I drawn thee. I'm going to tell you, the love of God drew you out of the depths of being dead and trespassing and sins, and raised you up to sit positionally in Christ Jesus by the everlasting loving kindness of God.
Amen.
I want to tell you, why should I be a lover of you? Because I have been loved by Jesus.
Amen.
I was trying to think, like, what should I title this? And one of the titles I came up with is Because Of. And another one I came up, Because of Victory. Right? And I want to go to one, because look what it says here. And the reason I say Because Of, because it says, be a lover, because you were loved, right? Above all things. And above all things, have fervent charity among yourselves, for, because, charity shall cover the multitude of sins. Because your sins are covered in the blood of Jesus Christ, and it was motivated by love, you be a lover above all things. Now, time out. Charity does not rejoice in iniquity. You can't use charity as an excuse to be negligent against standing for the truth.
Amen.
Okay? That's not charity. If you let somebody abound in falsehood and abound in error and walk in error and walk the wrong way because you don't want to hurt their feelings, or because it's uncomfortable for you, brothers and sisters, that's not love, that's negligence.
Amen.
Whenever my brother transgresses against me, and I don't do what Matthew 18, the Lord Jesus Christ tells me to do, because it's really not that big a deal, but it's a big enough deal for me to talk to everybody else about it.
Amen.
What it is, it's not that big enough deal for me to get outside of my uncomfortableness.
Amen.
You understand what I'm saying? Whatever I do that, I'm not being charitable. I'm being negligent. I'm going to tell you, charity will motivate you to shout hallelujah, and charity will motivate you to do some uncomfortable things. Anybody here ever just rejoiced in whooping your child? If you have, don't answer that. We ain't in conference right now. See what? I don't like doing some of the things we have to do when we're abiding in the truth. But whether I like it or not, doesn't mean I don't do it. It's the truth. I do it. But because of victory, right? It says love, because Christ's love has covered your sins. To me, that's love should be the motivating factor for love. Over in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, Paul writes, for the love of Christ constraineth me. He says, the love of Christ takes hold to me. And I want to tell you, if we really understand that we deserve hell, that we really understand that we deserve everlasting fire, Brother Ronald quoted it today, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus our Lord. I'm going to tell you, it says, for the wages of sin is death. I sin every day multiple times. I deserve to die every day multiple times, but I don't. Because of the love of God. And because I am able to see the mercy that has been bestowed upon me, it should motivate me to be a merciful, loving, kind person. If you have your Bibles with you, let's go over to 1 Samuel 17, we're talking about motivation. Over in 1 Samuel 17, there's a scene going on here, and Bible readers are familiar with this. It used to crack me up whenever I'd hear Brother Sonny Powell say that. He'd say, "You Bible readers are familiar with this." Like, that's kind of a little dig there. In other words, if you're not familiar with it, you're not a Bible reader. I love that, man. You know, some people, you know, they... got riled up by him, but I'm going to tell you, if you feed me, I'll take a lot. I mean, I'm serious. He fed me the Word of God. I didn't mind getting my toes stuffed on. I mean, I love the Word of God. But you Bible readers will understand that what's going on here, there's about to be a fight. And the Jews, the Israelites, the Hebrews, they're gathered up on one mountain. And the Philistines are gathered up on another mountain. And there's this big old boy, bigger than me. About 9.5 foot tall. He come out there, and he is garbed up. He's got his armor all over him, and he's even got a fella standing in front of him with a shield. He's cheating. I mean, think about that. He's got somebody cheating for him. I mean, David, whenever Saul gave him his shield, David had to carry his own shield. He couldn't do it. It was too heavy. Goliath had somebody carrying his shield for him. Think about it. The odds were for him. 9.5 foot tall? Even King Saul, look what it says in the 11th verse of 1 Samuel 17. When Saul and all Israel heard those words of the Philistines, they were dismayed and greatly afraid. Even the king was afraid. And I'm going to tell you, they had a reason to be afraid. Because there's a 9.5 foot giant standing up in front of them saying, "Y'all send a fella out to fight me, and if your representative beats me, then y'all rule over us. But if I beat your representative, then we, us Philistines, are going to rule over y'all." I'm going to tell you, it's a beautiful picture of the work of Jesus Christ, how He is our representative.
Amen.
He's our champion. I love that Romans 5 where it talks about by one man's obedience.
Amen.
Brothers and sisters, if it's the work of Christ and you're trusting the Lord, that's more than one man's obedience. I heard Brother Mike Montgomery make this point the other day, and I loved it, loved it, loved it. He said, whenever you try to incorporate the law or anything else into grace, into the work of Christ, if you say that the work of Christ plus what you got to do sends you to heaven, then you're saying what you got to do is just as important as what Christ did on the cross.
Amen.
I'm going to go a little step further. If you say that the Lord did all that He could, and now something that you don't do keeps you out of heaven, what you're saying is what you don't do is more powerful than what Christ did on the cross. Who has the preeminence, man or Christ?
Amen.
Christ does.
Right.
If Christ wants you in heaven, you're there. Well, isn't that good?
Amen.
I'm going to tell you, when people say, you know, you need to accept the Lord because He loves you. I'm like, man, I'm glad I'm accepted because He loves me.
Amen.
Man, if He loves me, I'm great. Just wait a little longer on the Lord. But look what's going on here. Now, David, it says, when Saul and all Israel heard those words of the Philistines, when they heard the Philistines say, "If I beat your representative, we're your ruler," they were scared. Even the king. Brothers, there was a giant standing in front. There was an obstacle standing in front of them, and it scared them to death. They looked at it, and they were afraid. They didn't know how they were all going to overcome it. And I want to tell you, whenever a little child of God is born of the Spirit and they haven't heard the gospel, they're afraid. They don't know how they're going to overcome their sin. I tell you, I agree with what Brother Luke Blair says. He says, you know, it doesn't amaze me that there's some people trying to get their sins up off of them that hadn't heard the truth. He said, if I was out plowing with a 5,000 pound John Deere tractor and it fell on me, even if I knew I couldn't get it off, I'd still try to get it off, wouldn't you? Or would you just lay there and say, here it is? I mean that makes sense. Even if you know you can't get it off, you're still gonna try. And I'm gonna tell you, whenever you haven't heard the message of grace, and you think there's something you gotta do, but then you realize you just can't do it because you're dirty and you're filthy, but you just keep trying and you keep on getting disappointed, and you're sitting there and you're in despair. And you're like, how am I going to win this battle? How am I going to win this warfare? And I'm going to tell you, they've seen a giant. They've seen an enemy that made them get in despair, that made them afraid, and they had no idea how they were going to overcome it.
Amen.
But I'm going to tell you what. A little boy named David, he took him 5 smooth stones, went up against big old Goliath. You know, I'm a simple-minded individual. I done told y'all that. I've heard all these reasons why David took 5 smooth stones. I think he took 5 smooth stones the same reason me personally. I knew I was going to be here 3 separate days at church, but guess how many suits I took? 4. Just in case I mess one up. I want to be prepared. Because anybody who's traveled with me, I messed up. But I'm saying, I wanted to be prepared. I think the reason David took 5 smooth stones and he just didn't take one, he wanted to be prepared. He didn't know how many he was going to take, but he trusted in the Lord. I'm going to tell you, whenever I come to a meeting, I trust in the Lord. Sometimes I bring about 6 or 7 sermons. I just don't bring one. But I want to get to this. Go with me over here. So I want you to get this scene in your head. All the Philistine army is over here. All the Hebrew, Jewish army is over here. And there's a valley where the battle is about to go down. And just think about being at Georgia Bulldog Stadium or the biggest church in the state of Alabama over in Tuscaloosa, you know, Brian Denny Stadium or LSU Stadium. You know, I used to go to LSU games and we'd always sit way up there. You know, way up there. And you couldn't really tell what was going on the field. I watched that big old TV, you know. You know, you pay all that money to watch TV. But because we were so far up there. And you can just imagine, right? Just imagine, they're on these 2 mountaintops here, and they're looking down at the warfare. They're looking down at the battle. They're looking down at what's going on with David and Goliath. And that's where we're at right now. And look what it says here. 46th verse. This is the words of David. This day will the Lord deliver thee into my hand, and I will smite thee and take thine head from thee. And I will give the carcasses of the host of the Philistines this day unto the fowls of the air and to the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel. And all this assembly shall know that the Lord saveth not with sword and spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into our hands. And it came to pass, when the Philistine arose and came and drew nigh to meet David, that David hasted and ran toward the army to meet the Philistine. And David put his hand in his bag and took thence a stone and slung it and smote the Philistine in his forehead, that the stone sunk into his forehead. And he fell upon his face to the earth. So David prevailed over the Philistine with a sling and with a stone, and smote the Philistine and slew him. But there was no sword in the hand of David. Therefore David ran and stood upon the Philistine and took his sword. And I want you to understand, the Philistines that are watching the battle, they ain't done nothing yet. They seen Goliath fall down and they're just watching. Because I want to tell you, they probably don't know exactly what's going on. I mean, they're probably sitting there like, what's going on? Is he mocking him? What's going on? I mean, because I could see Goliath mocking him like just saying, hey, I'm laying on the ground, come get me, or something like that, because he was very cocky. He was very confident in himself. He thought he was going to be able to destroy David. But I could just see the Philistines just staring at the battle like, what's going on? Now look what happens here. Therefore David ran and stood upon the Philistine and took his sword and drew it out of the sheath thereof and slew him and cut off his head therewith. And when the Philistines saw their champion was dead, they fled. And the men of Israel and of Judah arose and shouted and pursued the Philistines until thou come to the valley and to the gates of Ekron. And the wounded of the Philistines fell down by the way to that S-word, even unto Gath and unto Ekron. And the children of Israel returned from chasing after the Philistines, and they spoiled their tents. My point is this. Before the children of Israel seen that David smote Goliath, before David went out to battle Goliath, they were scared. What did I say? They were scared. A little child of God who thinks they have to bear their own sins, if they're honest with themselves, they're going to be scared.
Amen.
They're going to be afraid. But what I want you to understand is that victory motivates us to movement.
Amen.
It should.
Because
I want to tell you what happened there. When those Philistines seen their champion's head cut off and lifted off his head, they fled. But I want to tell you what. Whenever the Israelites, whenever the Jews seen that their enemy was defeated, they chased.
Amen.
They got inspired. They weren't just standing around anymore. I'm going to tell you what. Every old Baptist that believes to be saved by grace, it should inspire us.
Amen.
So I'm going to tell you what. If you have to bear your sin by yourself, you should be scared. You should be saying, who's going up against that man? But I'm going to tell you, this is above all things. Have fervent charity among one another. For charity shall cover the multitude of sins. Why did they chase after the Philistines? Why did they get motivated? Why weren't they standing around anymore? Because they seen a victory.
Amen.
And I'm going to tell you, whenever you see, whenever I see that our sins are covered up because of the love of Jesus Christ for us, and because of the love of God for us, because of the love of Christ, as Paul says, who loved me and gave himself for me. I love talking about the salvation of the elect, but I love shouting about my salvation. Amen? Because he loved me and gave himself for me. I want to tell you, whenever we see that Jesus died for us, whenever we see that Jesus humbled himself for us, it should make us want to be the most loving, kind people. I'm going to tell you, it should make us to cringe at the thought of ever even causing a controversy in the house of God. I'm going to tell you, one of my biggest fears in life is to do something that would cause controversy in the house of God. Because I'm going to tell you what, I want little children of God that live out in the community, whenever they get invited to come into the house of God, I want them to see the same love of Christ that I was able to see whenever I first came into it. Even if they can't see it in the doctrine yet, even if that hadn't been showed to them, I want the love that flows from breast to breast that kept me around. I want it to keep them around.
Amen.
Let's go over to Philippians 2 real quick, and I'll end. Brothers and sisters, I've said this a bunch of times. Whoever says that grace makes you lazy does not understand grace.
Amen.
Grace, you probably get tired of me saying this. I love the song, "The Cross of Christ Inspires My Heart to Sing Redeeming Grace." You know, listen, what Jesus did on the cross inspires me to do something.
Amen.
When somebody does something lovingly to you, does it just make you want to just sit there and just enjoy all the stuff they're giving you? Or does it make you want to reciprocate? It makes me want to reciprocate. I tell you, a lady at work, she worked for me one night so that I could go to a church meeting. And it was a beautiful church meeting, and God was there. And I'm going to tell you, I was so appreciative of that woman. I mean, I would have done anything for, you know, lawful, you know, but out of gratitude. But I'm going to tell you, the Lord, what He did for us just didn't enable us to go to church. We're going to be in heaven. And over here in Philippians 2, I love this, you know, talking about doing something because of something, right? Look what he says here. If there be therefore, what he's basically saying, if you've experienced any of these things that I'm about to tell you, that's a really, 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 really good reason to act a certain way.
Amen.
You need to act this certain way because of what you've experienced in Christ. Look what it says here. If there be therefore any consolation in Christ. In other words, if you've come and you've heard the gospel of Christ preached and you were consoled by it and you felt to be wrapped up in the arms of your Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and you feel like He's going to carry you to heaven one day, if you're consoled by the gospel of Jesus Christ, listen up. If any comfort of love, if the love of Christ and the love of the brethren have comforted you at all, listen up. If any fellowship of the Spirit, if you've ever sat in these pews and you've just felt Christ come down amongst you, listen up.
Amen.
If any bowels and mercies, if mercy just flows out from you, fulfill ye my joy. Brothers and sisters, I believe the reason you're here on a Friday night is because you've been consoled by the gospel. I believe the reason you're here on a Friday night is because you felt comfort of love. I know one of the reasons I'm here on a Friday night is because I felt some fellowship of the Spirit. And I felt bounds and bounds of mercies. He says, fulfill you my joy. I can just see the great Apostle Paul. He's begging them. If you felt any profit from the gospel, please fulfill my joy. Oh, Paul, we love you. Oh, we felt the Holy Ghost whenever you preached to us. What can we do to make you happy, brother? You know what he says? I'm glad you asked. That you may be like-minded. Does that mean we all got to agree on every little thing, what color the carpet's going to be? And you can just imagine at this time of the what's going on and all the things you can put out there. No. But be like-minded in Christ. Brothers and sisters, we need to keep in mind the most important thing in the church of God is our Lord.
Amen.
And trying to keep everybody together. I'm going to tell you, being a pastor then in this time, that's what I feel like. And it's not really big things, but just little things. And me just having a paranoid mentality, I'm like, oh my goodness, if that happens, if this could happen. And I feel like I'm in a wooden boat and I'm just putting a finger here in this hole, putting a finger here in that hole, and then somebody comes by the side of the boat and shoots it with a shotgun and I gotta stick my belly in that hole. I mean, I'm stretched. Because what you're doing is because these people, they don't think the coronavirus is real. These people think if somebody that has a coronavirus looks at them, they're going to melt. I'm using two big extremes, but I'm saying, and we're dwelling in the same church together. How do you reconcile that? Well, it ain't about you, and it ain't about you. It's about Him. It's about Him. I'm going to tell you, I love the house of God. And, you know, I've heard sermons on whether the coronavirus has come from the Lord or not. We deserve it if it didn't. But I'm going to tell you, you know who's using it to his advantage? Satan. And you need to realize that. Satan uses our pride. Satan uses our fear. Satan uses our blessings against us. I'm going to tell you, I can't stand for Satan to win.
Amen.
You know what one of the things that the Lord hates? He that soweth discord among the brethren. Pride, look. Brothers and sisters, without pride, the Bible says there is no contention. Only by pride cometh contention. You know what that tells me? If there's two people that conflict one another, somebody's being prideful. And from being married, I can tell you this, we're both being prideful. But look what it says here, fulfill ye my joy, that ye be like-minded. Have the cross of Christ. Have the glorifying of the Lord. Have worshiping and praising His name. You know what? If you're not leaving your house, not even to go to work or Walmart, you worship in the capacity of the Zoom or the Facebook or anything or whatever. But if you're going about and you're having family reunions and you're going to Walmart, come to the house of God. And I'm going to tell you what, if you're convicted to stay at home, then stay at home, but I'm convicted to come to church.
Amen.
Because that's what Christian liberty is. Don't get mad at me because my Christian liberty disagrees with your Christian liberty. I love God's people. Look, there are people who take a totally different view or action upon this, and I love dearly, and I'll pray with them, and if they let me, I'd hug them. But I'm telling you, just because of some little difference in life, brothers and sisters, don't let that break up the body. Fulfill ye my joy, that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through strife. Brothers and sisters, if we're ever in a conference and we start to see people get heated, Paul just said, let nothing be done through strife. We need a time out.
Amen.
Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory out of pride, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. Oh, brothers and sisters, that's what humility is. If I'm not violating God's law, and for us to be reconciled together, I got to get down on my knees, I'm going to get down on my knees. And if we don't have that attitude in our heart, whenever we come into the house of God to feet wash, if we don't have the attitude of getting ourselves down on our knees every day, not just two times a year or three times a year, if we're not constantly trying to humble ourselves to one another so that we can be reconciled in the house of God, brothers and sisters, whenever we finally do wash feet, we're just splashing water. That's an amen. It should be there. Because we should be acting what we're representing.
Amen.
So look not every man on his own thing, but every man also on the things of others. This is love, brothers and sisters. You know why Jesus died for you? Because he loved you. Because he sacrificed himself for you. And sometimes, for us to dwell together in unity, we just got to sacrifice our pride. We just got to sacrifice our flesh. We just got to sacrifice ourselves. Let me tell you something. Well, I ain't going to go. I was going to speak on me personally up there, but ain't nobody need to hear that. But let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. You know what that just said? So that you would dwell with him forever reconciled in unity in heaven with him, he became a servant and he humbled himself. Brother Tony, if I see something that I'm doing is getting in the way of our fellowship, I need to humble myself. I don't want anybody in here to hear this sermon and say, yup. Say, the person that hears it is me. And they're looking at Chris and say, yup, Chris needs to start humbling himself. You know what? I need to humble myself.
Amen.
Brother Chris, if I'm not deceived, you probably need to humble yourself. I mean, it's just the way it is. We're sinners. We're prideful. I want to stop being the main character in my movie.
Amen.
Y'all ever watch a movie and it doesn't matter what the main character does because the movie is all about him? No matter what ungodly or unruly thing he does, you start rooting for him, right? That's how I am in my life. I want to stop being my main character. I want Jesus Christ to be the main character. And I want you to be above me. And I want you to know how much I love you so that you would have the same attitude towards me. And that whenever we come into the house of God and we sing the song, brethren, we have met whatever it says about the brethren. We really mean it. And we feel the Lord come down from heaven and we're able to say, woohoo, it was good to be in the house of the Lord. I love y'all. I love your pastor. I love everybody here. God bless you.